confirmed with the Bible on?
Matthew chapter 15. And I want to look at verse 1. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 15, we'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Now, this is not talking about just washing your hands. How many of your mothers growing up and your mothers now, or folks around you, say before you eat, they say, wash your hands. Right? Wash your hands. This was not just a washing of the hands. This was a ceremonial washing. This was a Pharisaical overboard washing. What if your parents said, okay, I want you to wash your hands with this, and I'm going to get you to wash your hands with peroxide, and I'm going to get you to wash your hands with alcohol, and you think, what is wrong with them? And so there's a difference here. So I want you to see that at the outset, understand the context. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Now, what he was saying to them is, he says, you're transgressing God by your tradition. This was not God's command. This was their tradition. Okay? We're going to look at some things tonight, but that's very key to what we're going to look at tonight. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. Now, here's the problem. The problems with the Pharisees, the problems with the Jews of that day, the Bible teaches that you ought to take care of your parents. We know that, you all know that? We ought to do what we can to help our parents when they get elderly and so forth. They raised us when we were kids, changed our diapers when we were babies. Are you with me? Yeah. Amen? And he said, preacher, why is Jesus picking at them? Because he's God. He knew their hearts. He knew their lives.
Right.
And you need to understand that. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect in your tradition. So he's going back to Old Testament, which these fellows knew, and he says, you have not done what God told you to do. And you're focusing on my disciples washing their hands with your tradition, going overboard, when you have sin in your life, and here's what we have to understand, and there's a danger in our churches and in our lives today. We get into a religious, traditional life as opposed to a spiritual life. There's a difference between spiritual and religious.
Amen.
And I want you to understand that tonight. Today's text, this hits the topic between the religious and spiritual. If you want to be right with God, you have to move beyond the limits of the external behavior. And here's where God wants us to go. He wants us to go to the internal, the inner spirituality. Your heart. You. And so I want us to look at this tonight. The having a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's what it's all about. It's a spiritual relationship. When you get saved, God saves you spiritually. However, there has always been an attempt to reduce the Christian life to a set of rules. And a lot of people say, well, what's the rules here? What's the rules in this church? And this records a text where Jesus is talking to these religious leaders who say, your disciples are unclean on the outside, but on the inside, these men were unclean. You understand what I'm saying? You know, folks, and later in the Gospels, he calls them whited sepulchers. What is it? Well, on the outside, I'm doing everything that everybody needs, but on the that everybody needs to see, I'm performing. I've got the veneer. I've got everything out where you can see, and you perceive that I am somebody that's spiritual and godly, but inside, God knows I'm wrong. When you find yourself focusing on tradition as opposed to spiritual, there's a problem. Religion is man-made.
Right.
Spiritual is blood-bought.
Amen.
Now, I want you to notice some things here. Notice he comes to these Pharisees. And I want you to understand some simple thoughts tonight, and I'm not going to be long. I know teenagers, you've been in school all day, you've been instructed, you've been listening to every word your teacher's saying, you've been taking it all in, right? and if you're like I was, you aren't. But I want you to notice some things. Number one, We're talking about going beyond, and we're looking at going beyond the traditional, the religious, to the spiritual. We could rename this message "Get Real" or "Keeping It Real." Are you with me? And so what's the difference? Well, if you go to some churches, and if they don't have a certain thing, and they don't do it a certain way, people just get all worked up.
Right.
Now, I pride myself here at Faith Independent Baptist Church. I pride myself in not doing it the same way every week. Change it up. Right? You get into a routine. You get into a rut. A rut is just a grave with the two ends knocked out. And we don't want to get into a routine, stand up, sit down, pray, stand up, sit down, pray, offering, this, that, and the other. And listen, that gets old real quick, amen? I don't like the same old, same old. How you doing? Same old, same old. What people say. So here, if as a Christian, I want to go from just the mere religious to a deeper spiritual life, I need to realize some simple things. Some simple things that these Pharisees that knew about the Bible, knew about the Old Testament, never really got. It never really took with them to the place that many of them are spending eternity in hell. Let me just say, number one, there are three things we want to notice. Number one, there is no loophole for obedience.
Amen.
Now, what did Jesus say to them? He says, but he answered and said unto them, verse 3, look, why do ye also transgress the commandment of your of God by what? What does it say? Help me, young people. What's it say by your what?
Your tradition.
Your tradition. You guys looking at your Bible? Looking at the screen? Help me out. Your tradition. You're going through the motions. It's more important for you to go through the motions than to be obedient. See? He says, for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. And look at verse 6. And honor not his father or mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of what?
None
effect. You've just bypassed it completely. It doesn't matter to you. Jesus is referring to a loophole that the Pharisees had found in the teachings of the elders. What they were saying, they used to avoid their responsibility showing compassion to those that needed their help. And since in those days there was no retirement plans or Social Security, the son's responsibility was to take care of the aging parents. But the teachers of the law developed another tradition that superseded the responsibility to one's parents, and it also superseded the fifth commandment, honor your father, honor thy father and mother. Now here's the loophole. Here's what they said. In the past tradition, they developed something that allowed the person, it developed all that allowed a person to call his possessions Korban, which means sacrifice to God. And if a man had money or possessions that he wanted to hang on to, he could declare them Korban. You see where this is going? Stay with me. And a pledge to be paid the temple upon his death. Here's the catch. They remained in his possession throughout his lifetime, and he continued to use them. Since these possessions had been pledged to the temple and therefore belonged to God, he could not share them with anyone else. However, he was free to use them during his lifetime. So what it's saying is, today they would not help their parents.
Wow.
I can't give this to you because this belongs to the temple, but yet I can. You say, well, that's ridiculous. Well, that's what disobedience is. It's ridiculous. See. Today we use the term for Korban. We say, well, you know, Lord, I'm going to be faithful to you, and I'm going to be faithful to you, and we read our Bible at home, and we do this, but we're not faithful to church. Well, Lord, I'm going to give to you, and we tip God. I'm supposed to tithe, but I just can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to tithe. There's no loopholes that God releases us from. And the Bible is to be obeyed.
Amen.
I don't care what you think or what I think. One day we're going to stand before God as Christians, before Jesus Christ as Christians, and we're going to have to give an account. And we follow traditions. People get tied up in traditions. I'm going to tell you something. Traditions are man-made.
Right.
And there's no excuse for not obeying God.
Amen.
The prophet told the king Saul to obey is better than sacrifice. I think somehow we've got in our churches and in our Christianity that it's weak to just be obedient, just to do what God says. It's not. It's not. Now, I want you to notice, secondly, there's no substitute for love.
Amen.
Look at this. We're going to look down the scripture. Look at what he says to the Pharisees next. Look at verse 7. 7 through 9. He says, "Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship, teaching for doctrines the commandment of men." Did you hear what he said?
Commandments of men.
These people honored God with their lips, but they did not love him. They did not love him. The people honored God with their lips, but they worshiped God in vain because they were following teachings of men. Now, I know some of you young people go to other churches on Sunday morning. I wish you would come here. I wish you were able to come here.
Amen.
But if a man stands before you, or a Sunday school teacher stands before you and tells you that you cannot keep your salvation, you can lose your salvation, they're a liar, they're
right.
A false prophet, they're heretics.
Amen, that's right.
Please quote me to them.
Amen.
Please quote me to them. They're liars.
Amen.
I don't care how sweet your Sunday school little old lady Sunday school teacher looks, she tells you can't keep your salvation, she's a liar.
Amen.
Liar. And let me just tell you something else. You go to church and they say, well, you can't be baptized till you're 12. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that.
That's right.
They're a liar. Please quote me. Please get them to call me so I can help them. Amen?
Amen.
God, to obey God is to... What does God say in his word? He said, do this, do this, do this, do this. What are we supposed to do?
Obey God.
To do this. Amen?
Amen.
That's what it is. God is not... And God doesn't put anything on us that's burdensome. God not only saves us, but he says, I'll give you the strength to do what I want you to do.
Amen.
So I'll give you the wherewithal. He indwells us with his spirit. And so here, there's no... They honored him. The traditions... Listen, a tradition does not require an integrity of heart. It's just going through the motions. Do you ever feel like you're doing something, you do something all the time, you're just going through the motions?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you ever ask yourself, what am I doing this for? Who am I doing this for? As a Christian, you need to understand you're responsible to God for yourself. And we don't need to be men pleasers.
Amen.
And there's traditions. There's even traditions in independent Baptist churches that ought to be thrown out.
Right.
There's traditions. And why do we do what we do? That's a question. I don't know. Well, you better find out. Notice Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. It says this: Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. There's something about doing something that you love, doing something that you're doing because you love. There's love involved. It's different. Right? How many of you like green vegetables? No teens are raising their hands. Oh, okay, there's a couple different ones back here. But how many of you have a meal that your mother fixes or you go out and you just get through it the best you can because you're hungry? Right?
My mom cooks perfect.
Yeah, okay, whatever. But anyhow, you just get through it. Now, there are some meals. How many of you have a favorite meal? Okay. Now, and when you get that favorite, when you know you're going to have that favorite meal, what do? You get excited, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just want to keep eating and eating. You love it. I mean, I just love it. Now, when I was growing up, for my birthday, my grandmother would fix me LaChoy out of the can, LaChoy chicken chow mein. You remember that stuff?
Yes.
I mean, God, Lord knows why I loved that, but she'd get me some of those crunchy noodles and put it on a plate, big old pit plate, and I'd put the soy sauce in, and I was excited about that. Now, I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole now, or a 9-foot Hungarian. I mean, I wouldn't touch it with anything, man. I don't like it. But you have your favorite food. You get excited, okay? How many of you have a big Thanksgiving meal? Anybody have a big thing? Do you get excited about Thanksgiving meal? I mean, cranberry sauce and turkey and dressing.
Roast beef.
No, that's not Thanksgiving. I'm sorry. You need to move to another country. But a Thanksgiving. I like day after Thanksgiving, Amira. If we have turkey, if we go to my mom's, I try to get some turkey and put mayonnaise on my bread and put some turkey on there.
Mm-hmm.
And put some dressing on there.
Amen.
And put some cranberry sauce on there.
Yep.
That's what I'm talking about. That'll bless you. Now, you say, ooh, I don't like, but you have something else that you love, right? Favorite sandwich, favorite subs, or you go, our favorite ice cream, or favorite this. You get excited about it. Let me just tell you something. We ought to be excited. We ought to love God to the place where we love God to the place where we're just wanting to serve him and be what we need to be for him. Not just go through the motions. Not just go through the motions. Notice again, there's no replacement. There's no loophole for obedience. There's no substitute for love. And let me say this, there's no replacement for purity. Now this is purity of heart. Notice what he says. Look at verse 10 in our text. Chapter 15 and verse 10. Are you with me? Notice what it says. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. He said, it's not what, he said, you can wash your hands all you want. You know, you can wash your hands any way you want. The food's not going to hurt you. Okay? It's not what goes in, it's what comes out. Right. It's what inside. How many of you know somebody that they're just nasty all the time? Anybody know anybody like that? Huh? Hygiene. Just nasty all the time. You know why they're nasty all the time? Because inside they're nasty. Mm. They're miserable. They're miserable. Notice, look at verse 17. Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draw? Now Jesus is being pretty graphic here. He says, you eat and it, and you get rid of it.
Right.
But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth of the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Now, I'm going to tell you something. By this time, these guys were probably livid. Because he said, number one, you're a bunch of disobedient people. And they had nothing to say because it's true. They were obeying their traditions. And this was just one. This was just one. They weren't taking care of their parents. This was just one of many they weren't doing. And then he said, another thing is, you don't love God, you love yourselves. Now you know that by looking at the Gospels, the Pharisees. Pharisees wanted to kill Jesus.
Right.
Okay. Now, the other thing is, there is no replacement for purity. What is he saying? Jesus is saying externals don't matter if the inside is not right. Cleaning up the outside. Let me tell you something. Suppose I got you everybody together and I said, hey, I want you to go help me. We're gonna go detail a car. I want you to help me detail my new car. So we drive up in this place, you look and it says Acme Junkyard. And I take you out in the junkyard, and there's this car sitting there, no wheels, no windshield. And I got all these buckets. I said, we're going to detail this thing because this is a great car. Somebody lifts up the hood, there's no engine. You say, preacher has popped a cork. There's something wrong with him. Now here's the problem. You can dress up the outside, but if there's nothing inside, on the inside, it doesn't work.
Right.
And there's a lot of Christians, let me tell you something, there's a lot of Christians that go to church, they dress up. I mean, they dress up like they're going to see the president. And not that he'd see them. Anyhow, but they dress up. And I mean, they're looking good. They got new shoes on, a new do, and they got their nails done. Guy's got a new suit on. And I mean, they look good. But inside, they're not. There's nothing to it. And God says to the Pharisees, and he's saying to you and I, he says, your inward purity is more important than your outward, because your inward determines your outward. Amen.
Amen.
Now, notice this. Jesus was saying, we settle for external signs of righteousness, and we overlook the important aspect, listen, of all, a pure heart. A pure heart. Jesus said that a man is defiled not by how he eats or what comes out of his mouth, because what comes out of his mouth is what is in his heart. Now we go back to the beginning. You guys need to wash your hands. What's wrong with you? Jesus said, and to make a big deal. How many of you have seen somebody make a mountain out of a molehill?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Let me tell you something. This is what we follow in our Christian life, right here.
Amen.
And I got to tell you something. It's not easy. And none of us in here or in the world have arrived and have followed it completely. We struggle. It's a day-by-day warfare. Young people, you think, well, you know, preacher, when I get to be 20-something or 30-something, then I'll sort of click in and I'll become more churchy and I'll get into... No, it's not. That's not the way it works. The way it works is you have a relationship with God, and you obey God, and God will bless you.
Amen.
You do what He wants you to do. You follow what He wants you to follow, and you keep your heart pure inside. When you let bitterness, when you let sin in your life, it will turn you. It will turn you away from God. Now he says to these fellows, this is a sin that we've got to guard against. The sin of setting surface spirituality. That's not what it's all about. You can dress it up, but what's inside counts.
Amen.
There's no substitute for obedience. There's no loophole for obedience, no substitute for love, and there's no replacement for purity. And that's what he was saying to these fellows. You read that chapter over and over again in Matthew, and you'll find that Jesus is saying to them, hey, you need a loving, pure heart. A loving, pure heart. It's not what you do. Let me just put it this way. It's not whether or not you come to church. It's why you come to church. It's not whether or not you read your Bible. It's why you read your Bible.
Amen.
It's not whether or not you pray. It's why you pray. It's not whether or not you tell folks about the Lord. It's why. It's why. We have churches. And we have churches how many years? 61 years this year, Pastor, my brother Arnold. And 61 years. And we've been here 61 years. And we've done our dead level best not to just be a surface church.
Amen.
We want to be real.
Amen.
And we want to love each other and care for each other. We want to reach out to the community. Now, how's that happen? A pure heart, an obedient heart, a heart that follows the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. You say, preacher, if I die today, I know for sure I go to heaven. Christ is my Savior. Heaven is my home. If I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you slip your hand up? Real high, real high. Now you say, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Anybody here like that tonight? I want to talk to you Christians. I want to get, Bethany, I need an invitation song. I want to talk to Christians. Where are you? Are you just going through the motions? Are you just going through the motions? Or are you, listen, are you loving the Lord with all your heart? Is your heart pure? You say, preacher, are you talking about being perfect? No. None of us here can be perfect. But I'm going to ask you, would you respond to the Lord today? Father, bless the invitation and work in our hearts in Jesus' name. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. God spoke to your heart, you come. Get along with Him. Amen, amen, amen. Well, if you have any offering, stop by and give it to Brother Arnold, and he'll receive that. Let's close in prayer. Chris, lift your voice up. Close for us in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for bringing us safely this evening. I pray as we go throughout the rest of our week, Lord, you will keep us safe. Bring us again safely on Sunday. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Man, Pastor Creed, I gotta tell you something.